الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن هذا القرآن يهدي للتي هي أقوم وقال تعالى ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن هذه القلوب تزدع كما يزدع الحديد إذا أصابه الماء قيل يا رسول الله وما جلاؤها قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كثرة ذكر الموت وتلاوة القرآن وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنكم لا ترجعون بشيء إلى الله أفضل مما خرج منه وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن لله أهلين من الناس قالوا من هم يا رسول الله قال أهل القرآن هم أهل الله وخاصتهم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله تعالى يرفع بهذا الكتاب أقواما ويدع به آخرين صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Before I commence my talk proper, just two, three points. One is thanking the brothers of Newcastle for hosting this Islahi Jalsa. And just when walking in yesterday and coming into the masjid, the Nuraniyat of the masjid was completely, completely different. In fact, I thought that was my personal feeling. So another alim also mentioned to me, immediately when this thought was going through my mind, that look at the barakat of those attached to Quran al-Kareem, and it gives a different meaning and a different feeling when Qaul Allah, Qaul Rasul has been read throughout the year. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to make qadr of this. That there is a direct door linked to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala via the teaching of Quran and Hadith. And when these doors close, that door of mercy closes to this earth. So it's a great bounty of Allah, a tremendous bounty of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And the other points that I noticed, the extreme humility in the students that I've rarely seen, and even the khidmat that they make for even for the non-ulama, what such level of love and compassion. And I thought there has to be a reason for this. Because generally, the mizaj of a Darul Ulum falls on the students of the Darul Ulum. So I thought maybe probably by the time I leave here, I will find the answer to my question as to the tawadu. And then the factor that I've seen in the principal himself, Allah Ta'ala has given him ajib salahiyat of tawadu within himself. And that rubs off on the students immediately. Remembering Marana coming 2 years ago home, and he came for Gush. This is the first time I met Hazrat Maulana. And when he came in, somebody introduced as a Darul Ulum, principal of the Darul Ulum, and they introduced me as a principal there. But the thing that took me back was Maulana's absolute simplicity, non-pretenses whatsoever. That you would never say from the outward that Allah Ta'ala has taken so much work of deen from him. And then when I seen him serving himself personally all the time, so obviously it rubs off on the students. And from this, the point of sohbat, that in their company, if you see the in the company of such people, alhamdulillah, the qualities rub off automatically on the students. And then when making asfar to Cape Town for the last couple of years, compared to the 80s, in the mid-80s, when going to Cape Town for tablighi purposes, etc., then later in the 90s, and now recently, whichever masjid we go to, there is such warmth from the imams, etc., for the programs. One is we can see, when we ask them where they completed, they'll tell you they completed in Newcastle. That warmth that they give for the programs, the acceptance, and getting the musallis to listen to them speak. And it's also a great bounty of Allah Ta'ala. Keep in mind what was the condition of the Cape Peninsula area in the 70s, 80s. Keep in mind now. And this is the barakat of the Darul Ulum. Allah Ta'ala give us qadr to appreciate these institutions and what they have done for the Muslim world altogether, inshallah. The topic that I have chosen, keeping in mind that Ramadan Mubarak is coming, and this love letter that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent. Such a beautiful love letter that is a totally, totally balanced love letter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent a Quran al-Kareem with 30 juz, with 7 manzils, And this manzil was a general tartib sequence of Sahaba reading Quran Kareem. That in 7 days, generally the, in Madair al-Haq it is written that the Sahaba's tartib would start with tilawat Quran Kareem on a Friday and end by a Thursday. In a week they should complete one tilawat of Quran Kareem. That was a general pattern of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. So that's so much affection they had to Quran Kareem. And when you read the battles of Futuhat al-Sham, it's amazing that you wonder whether these people were ever humans. That so much tremendous work throughout the day, making jihad with sores, bleeding, tending to their wounds. But there was a general scene of tilawat of Quran al-Kareem after Isha, till late hours in the morning. Keeping in mind that the battle is going to continue after Fajr tomorrow. Such affection to Quran al-Kareem. And if you read the Kitab of Futuhat al-Sham, you'll see the subject coming again and again. That Sahaba's inclination towards Quran al-Kareem was amazing. With all the dini responsibilities and activities. So as I mentioned, 7 manzil of the Sahaba's general tartib of reading Quran al-Kareem. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and 114 surahs, chapters, 540 rukus, 6,236 verses of the Quran al-Kareem. Words of the Quran al-Kareem Allah has sent is a love letter to us, 70,701. As far as the letters are concerned, 323,631 letters. It's a love letter to us. A father like Hazrat mentions many times, out of concern if he sends his son in the previous time abroad, then he will send him a letter of concern. Maximum 8 to 10 pages, the company you should keep, the diet you should have, the study hours, the friends, etc., how you should spend your time. Out of love, the father sends a letter. Allah Ta'ala sent a letter of 30 juz to us for this very, very purpose for our guidance. And how the Quran introduces itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ يَحْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ. Hazrat mentioned many times in Hazrat's program, starting before Anwar al-Salah, the initial tapes, the one subject that continuously Hazrat makes mention of Hazrat Muhammad himself, that the wusul ila Allah, the path of reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are many. And the first point Hazrat always mentions, one of the most effective ways of reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through the Quran al-Kareem. And then Hazrat mentions the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the establishment of salat in a proper manner, and fourth, the sohbat of the awliya. These are very highly effective ways. And then one other point that Hazrat always mentions, that like the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and some mashayikh have gone even further by saying that proportionate to the breadth that the creations of Allah ta'ala take are the tariqs and the pathways to the wusul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, Allah ta'ala has given us this Islahi program and this Khanka, where all these things are combined. If you look at this program in Ramadan and Mubarak, this whole program is centered around these subject matters of perfection of salat, importance of tilawat, the importance of sahabat of the mashayikh, and all this combined, inshallah, will take a person towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This Quran, this ayat al-kareema, Allah ta'ala says very simply, Inna nahnu haza al-Quran yahdi lillati hiya akwam. Inna haza al-Quran yahdi lillati akwam. Ulama have given ajeeb tafsir of this ayat al-kareema. That what is akwam? That this Quran guides to that path which is akwam. So the first tafsir, wo manzil maqsood tak pahuncha deti hai. That the Quran al-kareem will take you to the objective. The objective, like Hazrat carries on, say, mentions that every ayat is a sign to reach towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every ayat of this Quran al-Kareem will take you to the objective that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second explanation of Aqwam, ulama have mentioned, was sabse kareeb raasta hai Allah ta'ala ki taraf. That is the closest, the shortest, most way towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is, one it is that it will take you to the objective. Second it is very, very short. Generally we say that what is easy goes easy. But in the Quran al-Kareem is completely different. Despite it being a very, very short route, it is highly effective. The third explanation ulama have given about Aqwam, that was sabse aasan tariqa bhi hai. And it is a very, very easy tariqa. And the fourth, that wa khatarat se khali hai, that it is pure and free from all potholes, the tariqa of the Quran to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as it also made mention that the Arab mashayikh previously used to make the Islam of the Muridin and the disciples only on Quran al-Kareem. So it's a highly effective way of reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as you mentioned, and one is the maqsood of the Quran Kareem, the objective of the Quran Kareem, what that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us tremendous rewards. In the hadith of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, man qara'a harfan min kitabillah, falahu bihi hasana, wal hasanatu bi ashri amthaliha, la aqulu alif lam mim harfun, walakin alifun harfun, walamun harfun, wa mimun harfun. O kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam. That a person that reads one letter of the Quran Kareem, for him is a good deed. And every good deed is multiplied tenfold. And I do not say that alif lam mim is one letter, but alif is one separate letter, lam is one separate letter, mim is one separate letter. As we mentioned, the letters of Quran Kareem, there are 323,631. Take one surah of the Quran Kareem, which according to Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi, it's farz to read in every rakat of a salat. According to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, it is wajib. Nevertheless, it is compulsory to read. 150 letters. In the explanation of this hadith, that for every letter is 10 rewards, Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi has quoted in Fazail Amal, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and in Ihya ul-Ulum, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi has also made mention of it. And Hazrat has mentioned this many a times in his talks, that if a person reads one letter of the Quran al-Kareem without wudu, that is when he will get 10 rewards. If a person reads one letter of the Quran al-Kareem with wudu, for every letter he'll get 25 rewards. If he reads with wudu in nafal salat in a sitting position, for every letter he will get 50 rewards. And if he reads one letter of the Quran al-Kareem in a nafal salah standing, for every letter he will get 100 rewards. That is a manam. And this is for way of example. On one occasion, somebody came to Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi and mentioning the Tablighi brothers that they give such fazail, can it ever be possible that if you say one subhanallah in Allah's path, 490 million, etc. They asked Hazrat, where is the dalail for all this and can it ever be possible? Hazrat said, they have mentioned it according to their understanding. Wallah, Allah is more than this. It's by means of example for us to understand. Because we know numbers. We like numbers. So because we are affected by numbers, Allah Ta'ala has made these numbers. But this is a minimum reward. So Surah Fatiha, take 150 letters. 150 letters of Surah Fatiha. Minimum reward times 10 is 1500. If it takes times 25, 3750. Times 50, 7,500. Times 100, 15,000 reward for Surah Fatiha, reading in a Nafal Salah. We can't even imagine what is the reward of reading Surah Fatiha in a Farz Salah. Just to understand this, one is we know that Ramadan Mubarak, every Nafal act, his reward is that of a Farz. Every Farz is multiplied 70 times. Just to understand what the difference between a Nafal, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned, that a person's entire life of Nafal Salah is not equivalent to two rakats of Farz Salah. So from that we can understand what the reward of Surah Fatiha will be in a Farz Salah. On one occasion somebody came, Mawlana Abdullah Pulpuri rahmatullah alayhi, Adamat Barakatu, when he came to Azadwal, he mentioned this incident. He said that somebody came from a distance to object to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, that you are elevating, we are not discussing the Masla, you are elevating a Sunnat act to that of a Farz. So he said, which act? He says, you say Witr is wajib. And you say Witr is Farz. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi corrected him first. He said, I've never said that Witr is Farz. I said Witr is wajib. So in objection, he asked Mona, Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, mal farku bayna al-farz wal-wajib? Then what is the difference between Farz and Wajib? There's no difference. It's just a technical difference. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said, al-farku bayna al-farz wal-wajib kal-farq bayna al-samaa wal-ard. The difference between a Farz and a Wajib, like the difference between the skies and the earth. So that is, both acts are compulsory. But such a difference. Can we well imagine what is the reward of reading Surah Fatiha in a Farz Salat? Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to appreciate this tremendous ni'mat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. And as I mentioned, totally balanced. The Quran al-Kareem, the word Allah itself has come 2,698 times in the Quran al-Kareem. If you look at the word life, has come 150 times. The word death has come 150 times. The word dunya has come 115 times. The word akhirat has come 115 times. The word malaika has come 87 times. The word shaitan has come 87 times. The word woman in a singular or plural form has come 28 times. The word men has come 28 times. The word Quran itself has come in the Quran Kareem 70 times. Surah Fatiha, the longest surah of the Quran, Surah Baqarah. How many letters in Surah Baqarah? 25,500. Imagine reading Surah Baqarah in Salah, what reward a person will receive. The shortest surah of the Quran Kareem, Surah Kawthar, approximately 42 letters. Bismillah in itself has 19 letters. So much tremendous reward Allah Ta'ala has given us for tilawat of Quran Kareem. And one is my introduction to what is the Quran Kareem. Far superior will be the introduction the Quran give of itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem that Tanzeelum min Rabbil Alameen. Understand the authenticity. The Quran is the dialogue. If you pose the question to the Quran Kareem, where have you come from? The Quran Kareem will say, Tanzeelum min Rabbil Alameen. I have come from the sustainer of the worlds. Deliberately Allah uses the word sustainer of the worlds. That being that has given you wujud, that has given you existence, that has brought you to fruition and culmination and completeness with love and compassion and nurtured you shay'an for shay'an, tadrijan, from one stage to the other, slowly, in a perfect way, in a compassionate way, that is Rabb. So understand, this Quran is from me, the one that has given you wujud, the one that has given you existence. So, Tanzeelum min Rabbil Alameen. If you ask the Quran Kareem, that what was your station before being revealed, the Quran Kareem will say, Bal huwa Quranun Majid fi lawhin mahfuz. So the origin of the Quran is totally pure, and the vehicle for transporting the Quran Kareem is totally pure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word, Bal huwa Quranun Majid fi lawhin mahfuz, in the secure tablet. Everything about it is authentic. Everything is authentic. From where it comes, it's authentic. From the being that is azali and abadi, Quran is the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is from always and always. So is his sifat from always and will always be. So is the Quran Kareem. So at times we should contemplate when reading the Quran Kareem. This is that sifat of Allah, that Allah has allowed me the opportunity to engage directly with. What a great ni'mat. A sifat of Allah that he has given me an opportunity to directly relate to. So this is the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Kareem. Tanzeelum bi Rabbil Alameen. Bal huwa Quranun Majid fi lawhin mahfuz. It was in the sacred tablet. And the vehicle and the median utilized to transport it is also totally authentic. Nazala bihi ar-ruhul amin. Ruhul amin. Ya Allah, you specifically, the trustworthy angel Jibreel has brought it. It's not tainted in any form. It is not adulterated in any form. It is totally pure. The origins is pure. The way it was secured is totally pure. The vehicle that it was brought in is totally pure. And then on who it has come, Tabarak alladhi nazzal al-furqan ala abdihi. Allah said, blessed, who has revealed the furqan, the criterion, that book that differentiates between truth and falsehood, on his servant. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes further to say, not only on the servant, but on which limb of his body have we revealed the Quran? Ala qalbika litakuna min al-mundirin. We have revealed the Quran Kareem on your heart so that you can be the warner to the ummah. So here Allah mentions the mubarak jism and udhu and the limb that Allah Ta'ala has sent the Quran Kareem. Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, on numerous occasions I heard him saying this. In Madinah al-Munawwara, on one occasion, we were sitting in his majlis and he mentioned this, that he heard this a few times from Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Proportionate to the relation a person has to the heart of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what his affection be towards the Quran Kareem. So this is the barometer yastik for each one of us to check. What is my inclination? My inclination to the Rasul will be proportionate to my inclination to Quran Kareem. Therefore, Allah makes specific mention on which organ of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this Quran was revealed. Ala qalbika litakuna min al-mundirin. And the authenticity, the awe of the Quran Kareem, the Quran itself explains, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. If you had to reveal this Quran on a mountain, you would have seen it raised to the ground. You would have seen it raised to the ground. It cannot withstand the awe and the majesty and the magnanimity of this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everything about it is blessed. The month, as it makes mention of this point, that the month of Ramadan is a celebration of the revelation of the Quran al-Karim. We celebrate in one of two ways, either by feasting, for example, Aqiqah, Walima. And then there's another way of celebration, that is by fasting. So this fasting Ramadan and Mubarak is a celebration of the revelation of Quran al-Karim. And then as we mentioned, there was a Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, when he got his residential permit to live in Madinah al-Munawwara, then he also fasted for 40 days. So at times you should try to celebrate the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by fasting. So Ramadan Mubarak is such a month. The night that it was revealed is totally authentic. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. That the night had become powerful because of the Quran al-Karim. We have revealed it in the night of power. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil mubarakah. The night is full of blessings. One is the virtue of the Quran al-Karim, but we should never forget the objective. Many times we get immersed in the virtue and the benefits, but we forget the primary objective. So what is the objective of the Quran al-Karim? If you ask the Quran, what is your fundamental and the primary objective? The Quran al-Karim will reply, Kitabun anzalnahu ilayk, litukhrijan nas min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. The primary objective of the Quran al-Karim, so that by the Quran, O Nabi of Allah, you can take the people out of darkness towards light. The darkness of kufr, the darkness of shirk, to the light of iman. From the darkness of bid'at, to the light of proper aqaid and proper amal. From the darkness of superstition to the light of sahih and proper aqaid. From the darkness of deviated path to the light of the sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the Quran. So we should always keep the objective in mind. What is the Quran al-Karim? There is no parallel to the Quran al-Karim. Ahsan al-Hadith, Allah says, the best of books. And you have any doubt regarding it, when fatu bi surati min mithli wad'u shuhada'akum min dunillahi in kuntum sadiqin. Not only you and all your partners and friends. There's a challenge in the Quran al-Karim that bring a samana. Fa'atu bi surati min mithli. Wad'u shahadakum min dunillah in kuntum sadiqin. Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddith Dihrawi rahmatullah alayhi has written that what is this tasawuf? Another name, an Arabic word for tasawuf is ihsan, the quality of ihsan. So he has mentioned three highly effective ways of getting the sifat of ihsan. One he mentioned is muraqabah, that a person should meditate. The other he has mentioned the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third that he has mentioned is connection towards Quran al-Karim. These are highly effective in obtaining the quality of ihsan. And ihsan, as in hadith of Jibreel, أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. That worship Allah as if you can see Allah. And minimum have this contemplation and thought that Allah is watching me. So Quran al-Karim is highly effective in this. In getting the sifat of ihsan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Quran al-Karim, everything. If you look even how the Quran explains itself, مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. It confirms, it verifies the subject matter of the previous scriptures. It is تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. It is a bayan on its own. The Quran makes bayan of how to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every letter, every verse, every ayah is a way, a bayan of how to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. شِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. The Quran is explaining what it is. It is a cure for the ailments of the heart. Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned that primary ailments of the heart is the main function of the Quran al-Karim. Shifa'un lima fi sudur. That means the hasad that we have, the jealousy that we have, the kina and the hatred that we have for somebody else, and the pride that we have, the lack of tawazu that we have, the Quran is highly effective in removing these ailments. And then he has mentioned that the byproduct and the other benefit of the Quran al-Karim, it is a shifa for all bodily ailments also. Allah Ta'ala give us yakin. That inshallah, that we can solve our bodily ailments through the Quran al-Karim. Therefore our mashayikh have written kitabs that this ayat will be highly effective for this, for this, for that. That is a tajruba and experience. That through this inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will give cure for bodily ailments also. So what spiritual ailments? Physical ailments also. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the hadith, Inna ha'adhi al-kulub tazda'u kama yazda'u al-hadith. That these hearts, we are talking about the spiritual ailments of the heart. And that's what we have all come here for our Islam, for our reformation. If you haven't made any niyat till now, inshallah, let's take this opportunity that to make the niyat of our Islam. As I mentioned on one occasion, Hazrat Tashkil was made to Cape Town, and Mona Zahir from Nizamuddin Markaz was also present. So in Hazrat Tawazu, he asked Mona Zahir Sahib, mashallah, he was a very, very jovial person. He had a way of words, and he had a very pleasant personality. I can remember on one occasion, when he was here, Haji Bapadia rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned to him that prolong your stay. So he said, no, I have to get to Markaz quickly. So he said, there must be some reason, mashallah, all the mashayikh there, etc. He said, no, 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 I left my joke book there. I don't want Mona Inamul Hasan to read my jokes and then steal my show. So at least when I come there, I still have some subject matter. So Hazrat asked Qari Zahir Sahib in the car, just leave before leaving. And this is tawazu we should all learn. That ask the mashayikh, ask questions. And from that, a lot of deen will come. Sahaba asked tremendous amount of questions. 14 questions of Sahaba that they posed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala revealed ayat. So many branches of knowledge open to us because of questions. So as being from Nizamuddin, Hazrat just gave one simple answer. Where we would think there will be a whole bayan of what niyats we should make. And Hazrat gave the one that make niyat of your Islam. That coming all the way, we're going to Cape Town for Tashkil. And our Tashkil is made to Cape Town. Go for this intention of your Islam. They will have a tremendous effect on the people that you meet. So, in the hadhihi al-qulub, tasda'u kama yasda'u al-hadid idha asabahu al-ma. That these hearts rust like how iron rusts when water falls on it. So they asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا جِلَاوَهَا. What is the remedy and what is the polish of removing the rust of the heart? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, كَثْرَةُ ذِكْرِ الْمَوْتِ. That make mention of maut in abundance. And in another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَازِمِ اللَّذَّاتِ. Make mention and speak abundant about that which cracks and breaks open your desires. That nullifies and terminates and annihilates your desires. That is the mention of death. And the other Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Tilawatul Quran. So this is one other niyat that we can make. Inshallah, there's a chapter on its own, what niyat we should make. And mashallah, Allah ta'ala gives jazayah khair to the brothers of Cape Town, etc. On one trip when we went, Hazrat made mention about the different niyat, possible niyats that we should make when reading the Quran al-Kareem. When I just reached Cape Town, they showed me already, they printed everything. And look at, ask Mashura from the Mashaykh. So they printed a proper sticker to the possible niyad that you should make when reading the Quran al-Kareem. So then they also made Mashura to Hazrat that what should they do with this? This teaches a lot of adab. So the thought was to put it in the cover, because that's when you open the Quran al-Kareem, you put it on the cover, so basically the first thing will go that you rectify your niyat. So Hazrat said, no. Don't put it in the beginning, put it at the end. It shouldn't be, there should be something precede the Quran al-Kareem. So the nazar is very, very far. Our nazar is towards immediate benefit. Their nazar is very, very far. That nothing should precede the Quran al-Kareem. The Quran al-Kareem should commence like that. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned the hadith, so إِنَّكُمْ لَا تَرْجُ. This is sufficient. Therefore, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi, because of the Quran al-Kareem, he was beaten so much. Therefore, that vision that he seen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into his heart through the dialogue with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was on the basis of the Quran al-Kareem. One is because of his sacrifices for the Quran al-Kareem. Therefore, this inspiration that when he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which is the quickest way towards you? Allah ta'ala replied and inspired him with this thought that through the Quran al-Kareem. Then the question was, he asked, what understanding or without understanding? Allah ta'ala said through both. And this is totally in conformity to the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِنَّكُمْ لَا تَرْجِعُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ بِشَيْءٍ أَفْضَلَ مِمَّا خَرَجَ مِنْ. That you will not return to Allah with anything more superior than that which has emanated from Allah Himself. This is sufficient to become a diehard of Quran al-Kareem. Not a day should pass without recitation of Quran al-Kareem. That this is the most superior thing that you can return. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further emphasizes point in the hadith ما من شفيع أفضل منزلة عند الله يوم القيامة من القرآن لا نبي ولا ملك ولا غيره أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. There is no interceder whose intercession is more superior than the Quran al-Kareem. A Nabi's intercession will not be even equivalent to that of the Quran, nor an angel's intercession will be equal to that of the Quran al-Kareem, or anything other than that also. So it is most effective in getting intercession by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the Quran al-Kareem. Our status is because of the Quran al-Kareem, collectively and individually. Collectively and individually. I was just mentioning, when we were going just a few minutes ago, that what solutions the Quran al-Kareem has given to us. And our entire solution of every problem lies in the Quran al-Kareem. Every problem lies in the Quran al-Kareem. So the ulama that were with me, I remembered an incident, so I mentioned this incident to them, that which Mullah Jamshed mentioned to us. He said the Babri incident, the shaheed of the masjid took place about 91-92. So he said he had Islahi ta'alluq with Hazrat Mullah Masihullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, that passed away about in that period. So he didn't get an opportunity because of the problem between India and Pakistan, visa problems to go for ta'ziyah, to go to the family, etc. So he said he got the opportunity. By the time when he got the opportunity, that was the carnage of the Babri masjid incident and the masjid becoming shaheed and blood of the Muslims flowing throughout India, and the respect of the woman were being taken, people were being burnt alive, and the police were standing on their sides, and all of them were looking, and the carnage was continuing. Through the Congress, which Mawla Asad Madni Rahmatullah Ali was a member of, they thought they would make some appeal to the government to show some form of leniency to get the army to intervene, so this carnage does not continue any longer. So he said whatever means they had at their disposal, they tried every means to put some pressure on the government so that the carnage can stop. Because the military were just watching and they didn't do anything about it. In many places they just allowed the police to take care and did not even involve the military, where there was total carnage in the streets of India. So he said that time, Mawla Abul Hasan Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali was still alive, and Mawla Asad Madni, who was the head of the Jamiatul Ulama Hind at that time, and a member of the Congress, they thought that whatever they could do, which was humanly possible, they did, in trying to appeal to the government and putting the case forward of the Muslims. Eventually they thought that nothing is helping, so let's go to Markaz Nizamuddin and ask Hazrat Mawlana Inam al-Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali to make dua. So Hazrat was busy in Mashura at that particular time. So they were sitting outside the door of Hazrat's room and waiting for the opportunity to ask Hazrat to make dua. So he said, that time I just came in and I seen these two seniors of mine and I felt it that I should go and greet them and go greet them. And I just asked them the purpose of their coming. So they explained that they want Hazrat to make dua. So he says, my mind just went to one ayat of the Quran al-Kareem at that time. He said, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا. If you make sabr, what is its requisites, and you imbibe within yourself the quality of taqwa, you adorn the garment of taqwa, the plotting and the planning of the enemy will not help you. So look at how they appreciated Quran. He said, Mawla Abul Hasan Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali grabbed me and held me, and he said, as if this ayat was only revealed now. This is the solution. This is the solution. So immediately they made mashura that in all the masajids of India at that particular time, these two mazamin should be spoken about for the next few jumas on sabr and taqwa. You see, it was only the talk of sabr and taqwa. Sabr and taqwa hadn't even come in the Muslims' lives as yet. It was the discussion of sabr and taqwa, and we've seen the scarnage is subsiding after 2 to 3 weeks. So this is the effect of Quran al-Kareem. It is a solution for the ummat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah has kept all our solutions in the Quran al-Kareem. So Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq, inshallah, that the month of Ramadan is coming. And Hazrat also makes mention that we start the month of Ramadan, like Hazrat started the mazmoon yesterday, that our actual preparation for Ramadan is at the beginning of Rajab. Therefore, the dua, the reminder, that our preparation should start in earnest. Allah prepares for Ramadan from Muharram, but in earnest from our side to prepare from Rajab. And then Sha'ban, to start increasing our tilawat of Quran al-Kareem. And as I say, our example is like that car that wants to start in fourth and fifth. Obviously, if you put it in fourth and fifth, then it will get stuck. And so when we started Ramadan, our first day, we read 5 paras, 6 paras, second day, 3, then 2, and after that, we don't even make 1 khatam. Because we are not used to reading Quran al-Karim. So this is an ideal opportunity to increase. And from what Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned, that the minimum right of the Quran, this we have heard from Hazrat on a number of occasions, that we should make 2 khatams in a year. Outwardly, one in Ramadan, one in Ramadan, one out of Ramadan. Outwardly, it seems that. So if a person is not used to making tilawat of Quran al-Karim, at least to make this intention, inshallah, that in Ramadan we'll make 1 khatam and 1 outside. The Quran al-Karim, basically about 848 pages, if we take the 13-line Quran al-Karim. If we read in the 11 remaining months, Islamic month 355, less 30, 325. If you read approximately 3 pages, 3.5 pages, easily, without much problems, we can make 1 khatam. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq, inshallah. That from today, let's start with that. That at least now make tilawat of 3.5 pages, and inshallah when Ramadan come, to increase. And if a person is in a habit of making 1 khatam, per month, and as it also gives advice that according to lunar month, so at least our attachment with the Islamic calendar will also be that we make 1 khatam per month. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika.